Genesis chapter 3, if you will, take your Bibles and I want to look at Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Genesis chapter 3 really gives us the lenses through which we should observe the world. Genesis chapter 3 gives us the lenses of how we are to observe or understand the depraved human heart. Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. We have before us here in Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, the darkest verses in the entire Bible. We have for us recorded the fall of mankind into sin. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. As we turn to Genesis chapter 3 this morning, I begin by asking you a question. Have you ever considered the root of Adam and Eve's fall into the garden? That is, have you ever contemplated what specifically led them to give into Satan's temptation and plunge the entire human race into sin? I want to submit to you this morning that the root of Adam's fall in the garden is the root of man's sinfulness today. And the root of Adam's defiance against God was nothing more than discontentment with God. Before sin entered the world through Adam, we know that the devil was not the serpent roaming on the earth. No, rather, he was an angel in heaven worshiping God. Lucifer was his name. And while we do not know all the details of Lucifer's heavenly experience, we do know that Lucifer was cast from the presence of the Almighty. And what specifically was the root of Lucifer's rebellion? Defiant discontentment. Lucifer said within his heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. Translation, Lucifer was not content being merely one of God's servants. He was not content being second in command to the Creator. He defied the authority of God and was not only banished from heaven, but also condemned by God for his defiant discontentment. As we consider the fall of man in Genesis 3, it's interesting to note the devil's tactics. Look at his tactics. Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Verse 5, God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now remember, Adam and Eve were given the freedom to enjoy all the trees, all the fruit of all the trees of the garden, except for one. And this sly serpent, the devil, comes along whispering in their ears that God is withholding good from you. And the devil whispering this in their ears, they grow in their discontentment. Adam and Eve were perfectly content dwelling in the presence of God, eating of all the trees that God had graciously provided until the serpent came along. And since the garden, man continually lives in defiant discontentment before God. From Genesis chapter 3 onward, we can trace every sinful action back to discontentment with God. What exactly is discontentment? Well, we would say that the root of sin is discontentment. And the root of discontentment is pride, selfishness. Discontentment is the proclamation of the heart. God is not treating me right. I deserve better. God is wrong. And because God is wrong, I am going to follow my own ways. Is that not what we see in the life of Lucifer? Lucifer says, God is not treating me right. I do not deserve to be under His authority. I deserve better. God is wrong for being God. And because God is wrong, I am going to seek my own way. That's what Lucifer did. And Satan coming to Adam and Eve in the garden. This is exactly what we read played out in the garden. Adam and Eve give way to the tactics of the enemy. And they grow in their knowledge, their sinful knowledge, that God is not treating me right. I deserve to partake of this one tree He told me not to partake of. God is wrong to withhold it. And because God is wrong, I'm going to take and follow my own ways. Discontentment. It's rebellion against God. It's shaking the fist at God's authority. And such discontentment is dominating the hearts of humanity. Such defiant discontentment is dominating the practices of humanity. So keep these things in mind as we consider now the domination of discontentment. We looked first at the origin of discontentment. It began with Lucifer in heaven. And then it went to the garden and Adam and Eve giving way to discontentment. And we could travel along the scriptures. Genesis chapter 4, Cain killing Abel. And what was that about? Cain was discontent with God's plan of offering a sacrifice. And God told Cain, you do well if you would come in my way. But Cain said, no, I'm going to take matters in my own hand and you cannot tell me no. What's his problem? His problem is defiant discontentment. So let's look at the domination of discontentment. Is this really true? Do we see this played out on the world stage? Is man truly under the umbrella of this defiant discontentment? We have many preachers who tell that man is basically good, that man just has a few faults here or there, but man is utterly corrupt. He is completely depraved. He is only doing evil continually, naturally, apart from Christ. Apart from Christ, there's no fear of God before His eyes. And apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, He is under the dominion of the wicked one, which is the dominion of discontentment. Look at those supporters of abortion. God is the one to give life. The Bible says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and we are made within the womb at conception. But those who abort the lives within the womb defy God by saying, God was wrong to give life. I deserve better than to keep this child, so I will murder it. The politicians say the same thing. God is wrong to give you life. You deserve better, and you have the right to do what you want and be your own God. What is that? Defiant discontentment. I don't deserve to be pregnant. I'm going to be my own God and do as I please. Those who practice and promote the practices of what is commonly called the LGBTQ, RSTUV, WX, Y, and Z. Those who are attracted to the same sex are discontent living as God created them. God's original order was male and female. Those who undertake an operation or dress contrary to their God-given gender do so because they are discontent with the gender that God has given them. Don't you see this? Their heart defiantly shouts, God is wrong. I deserve better. I am going to be my own God and follow my own ways. Now, again, I'm giving you spectacles to know how to look at this world properly. Those who are sexually immoral and unfaithful. And this is much of our world. The world at large is addicted to pornography. Millions, yea, billions of dollars are given to this wicked, hellish practice. The world at large goes from one romantic relationship to another romantic relationship to another romantic relationship shamelessly. And even among those who are married, the rising divorce rate only proves that humanity is defiantly discontent even after years of being involved in a covenant marriage union. Among those who separate, I've heard others tell me, we are filing for divorce because we are no longer happy. And that's the best excuse that they can come up with. We're no longer happy, so we're going to sign the papers, we're going to separate. And sometimes years after being separated, the one who said that they wanted the divorce to be happy is now wishing that they were with their previous spouse. And all these things shout in the sexual, immoral, and unfaithful culture. All these things shout at man's defiant discontentment. I am not happy. So I go from person to person to person, from pleasure to pleasure to pleasure. I go from marriage to marriage to measure marriage, and I am going to be my own God, and I'm going to follow my own ways. Discontentment. Now observe the obsessive, discontented coveters in our world. We rub shoulders with them every day. We have those who say, I cannot be happy, yea, I will not be happy without a house of my own, without a nice new car, without expensive vacations, without popular brand name clothes, without the most flashy technology. How can I live without the latest iPhone? You think I'm joking? People will camp out for hours in the cold so that they can have the newest technology when they already have the newest technology. And they will spend $1,000 just for a phone. What is this? This is just a little something they're going through, a midlife crisis or something? No, this is discontentment. The poisonous spirit of I want, I need, gives way to the dragon of covetousness, which leads to the death of debt. Many young couples today are headlong in debt because they are living in discontentment. It's not that they have to be in debt, but they are in debt because they keep spending. Their theme song is the song heard at the baseball stadium. Da-da-da-da, charge! And they charge it and charge it and charge it. Many unnecessarily live under the dark umbrella of debt their entire life because they cannot say no to themselves. They think that they deserve better. And what is the consumption of material possession but the poison of discontentment? I am not happy. I deserve more. I'm going to be my own God and get what I want, and nobody can tell me no. Like the bratty little girl on Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory. Give it to me now. What about the drug users and alcoholics? Those who are continually high on marijuana. Those who are experimenting from one drug to the next. Those hoping for some sort of lifting up experience from alcohol. And they go from bar to bar consuming one alcoholic drink after another alcoholic drink. And they declare with their actions that they are not content being sober. Not content being sober. I cannot live sober-minded. They feel as if they need the high to get them through the week. They need the experience. They need something other than God to help them deal with the pains of life. Drug users and alcoholics live in a continual state of defiant discontentment. And those rich and famous, businessmen, politicians, sports stars, musicians, these individuals are not content in a low, unimportant position where they are unknown. They want to be esteemed. They want to be seen in the eyes of the world as successful. They want to be rich and prominent in the eyes of others. And such people often will lie, cheat. That's steal and cheat together. They will steal, they will cheat, and they will hurt others to gain positions of wealth. We see that the climbing of the ladder in the professional world, they are discontent and they will do anything they can to make sure that they rise to the top, even if it means slandering the names of others. Look at those who murder. Murderers are discontent. I am not happy and I'm not content living with others. I'm going to be my own God and take matters into my own hands, and I will destroy what God has given. The murderer of one's own life, suicide. Suicide is nothing more than man being discontent with the life that God has given him. It's heartbreaking, yes, but this is the reality. And while thus far I have addressed much of the unreligious world, I would be wrong not to tell you that most of the religious world lives in defiant discontentment. All right, we like it when the preacher preaches outside of the doors of the church building. But now, here we are inside the church building. Flee for your lives while you have a chance. Most of the religious world lives in defiant discontentment. You say, how? There are many who profess God with their mouths, who think themselves to be true Christians, who are deceivingly discontent. There are many hypocritical worshipers within our Baptist circles, yes, within our good Baptist circles, who live in defiant discontentment. There are those who come into our worship services that are discontent with the true message of salvation, salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. There are those who are discontent with the message of repentance, the turning away of sin, and the clinging only to the cross of Jesus Christ. There are those who come within our realm who are discontent with Christ's demand for separation from the world and holy living. I don't want that. I'm content living in my sin. I'm discontent with that message. Don't preach to me, preacher. There are discontenters, those discontent with the old-fashioned way of worshiping God. Oh, you sing the hymns. Oh, you dress up on Sunday morning. Oh, you preach rather than lecture. Oh, you don't entertain. And they are discontent with the Bible way of worshiping God, discontent with the pastor here, discontent with the congregation there. And many hop from church to church. We call them church hoppers. And many hop from church to church looking for the perfect pastor, looking for the perfect congregation. And what is this? Discontentment. And listen, some avoid church altogether because they are not satisfied, nor will they ever be satisfied. I met such an individual last Saturday on outreach. When inviting this individual to our services, he asked, "How educated is your pastor?" I didn't tell him I was the pastor. I just said he had several years of education and many years being mentored by other pastors. To which he sourly disapproved and said something similar to, "I haven't found any pastors here in the high desert who are truly educated." And my response, "How educated do you want the pastor to be?" And that was the end of our conversation. But what is this? Discontentment? Nobody is good enough. Nobody will ever be good enough. I'm going to stay at home and forsake the assembly of God because I deserve better. Think about all those who have passed through our congregation over the years who are now embracing the world openly without embarrassment. I'm not speaking about those who've moved and are faithful to the Lord. I am speaking about those who were once with us, externally worshiping the Lord, who now unashamedly, without blushing, embrace this world as their friend. What is their underlining reasoning for not worshiping and serving God as they know they should? I am not happy. I deserve better. I'm going to be my own God and follow my own ways. Paul said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. He was discontent in the work of God. He forsook Paul. He went to the world to find contentment because he was discontent with God. Do you see now that the world is drunk with discontentment? The people of this world stumble around daily acting like intoxicated fools because of their discontentment. The underlining reason for man's defiance against God lies in man's discontentment with God. When you listen to the news, think of that. What is all this? What is all this? Defiant discontentment. What is all this in the religious world and these leaders compromising the truth? What is this defiant discontentment? What is the message of the Pharisees kicking against the message of Jesus Christ? Defiant discontentment. Now listen, church, I am not here to merely address the world. I am here to address you. What about you? Have you ever considered that your life may speak now of defiant discontentment? Oh, not me. I'm here Sunday morning. I'm dressed up. I have my Bible. What do you mean me? That can't be me. Maybe you come to church and you are content to hear the truths of the gospel. You are not content to obey the truths of the Bible. Are you listening? Ezekiel 33, Ezekiel was a faithful preacher of God's word. And the Bible says in Ezekiel chapter 33, beginning in verse 30, that the people listened to Ezekiel as one who had a sweet voice. It was an entertaining time coming to hear this bold preacher lift up his voice and burn, as it will, for the truth of God. They were content listening to Ezekiel unfold about the prophecies of the Lord, but they were discontent obeying the words that Ezekiel gave. And if that happened way back then, surely it happens now. That's why James says, be doers of God's word, not hearers of God's word, deceiving your own selves. Maybe there are some here, you're content with learning about the Lord Jesus Christ. Knowledge puffs up. Ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of truth, but you're not content serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I love sitting in the pew and I love gaining the information. I want to know, I want to know, I want to know, I want to know, but wait, don't expect me to serve. You're content to hang out with your current friends. You want to make new friends in the church, but you're not content to yield your allegiance to the Savior. And some are like the Pharisees, content to go through the religious motions, playing church on Sunday, but discontent loving Christ and worshiping Christ daily as He requires. You see, religious discontentment. And some of you are blinded by this religious discontentment. In your pride, you say, God's word is outdated. I deserve better. I'm going to be my own God and follow my own ways. The only cure for your discontentment is the only cure for the world and their discontentment. The cure for defiant discontentment is the Lord Jesus Christ. If I am speaking of you today, flee to Christ. You're one of those religious discontent. You love coming, hearing, going through the motions, but there's an emptiness in your heart. You're defiantly discontent. with what the preacher is saying. The only cure for defiant discontentment is Jesus Christ. It is not a baptismal ordinance. It is not your good works. The only cure is the great physician, Jesus Christ Himself. And John chapter 3 tells us of the account of a man named Nicodemus, one who was religiously discontent. He is discontent with his empty religious ways, his empty religious life. And he comes to Jesus by night. He knows a lot of the Bible. This man is a man of prayer. He's a man of fasting. He's a man who's striving to be moral. But he inwardly has no hope, no joy, no purpose, no peace. And he comes to the source of contentment. He comes to Jesus Christ Himself. Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God. And he finds in Him his true source of joy, hope, and peace. And what does this teach us? That Jesus Christ alone is our cure for discontentment. Jesus Christ alone is the cure for the world's discontentment. It is not a program. It is a person. It is not a church. It's the gospel. Only Jesus Christ has the power to slay the dragon of discontentment in your life. You cannot slay that dragon by your own power. But the gospel, the good news, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe. And Jesus says, with men, it's impossible to tear off the religious robe of discontentment. It's a straitjacket that locks you in. With men, it's impossible. Just consider the rich young ruler. He comes to Jesus boasting all these things. He is religiously discontent. I have kept the law from my youth up. Look how good I am. Look how religious I am. Most churches would have baptized the rich young ruler and welcomed him to the congregation, but Jesus didn't. Jesus knew his heart. He knew his heart was still set on riches. His riches were those things that were trying to give him contentment. And he left sorrowful. And then Jesus turns to his disciples and says, listen, men, you want to hear something about the gospel? Because they said, well, who then can be saved? This man cannot be saved. And he seemed to be a good moral man. If he cannot be saved, who can be saved? Jesus then says, boys, with men, the straitjacket of sin and rebellion and defiance, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. God, through Christ, has the key to free one so that they might find Christ. Isn't that the words of Wesley? My chains fell off. My heart was free. Amazing love. How can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? The blood of Jesus is able to cleanse all your stains of defiant discontentment. Christ shed his blood on the cross of Calvary to take away the root of defiance. Now, I have noted specific groups of people in the world who are living in discontentment. Promoters of abortion, LGBT, drug users, alcoholics, murderers, and so on. And as I mention them, I do not mention them self-righteously and setting up ourselves to be something when we are not. And I do not mention them as they who have no hope. I preach about their sin, declaring that such were some of us. But we are washed, but we are sanctified, but we are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. And listen, you can be too. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. We have among us those who were defiantly discontent before God living in homosexuality. We have those among us this day who were at one time defiantly discontent living in sexual immorality. We have those of us who this day were defiantly discontent, abusing drugs and going through the empty religious practices, who are now a new creation in Jesus Christ. And so we declare these things as one who has found hope in Jesus Christ. We were discontent, walking according to the course of this world, but Christ found us, and in Christ we have new life. Through His cross and through His blood we have the forgiveness of sins, and through His resurrection we know the hope of life eternal. So the testimony of all true Christians is, I was once unhappy with God's word, unhappy with God's ways. I was once seeking my own pleasure until Christ found me and gave me true satisfaction. And now I am content in Him. All believers are truly content in Christ. Now, do they struggle on the day-to-day, the circumstantial, with the discontentment? Yes. But in their heart and in their soul, regarding the issues of eternal life, all true born-again believers are content with Christ. Christ is their all in all. They don't need Christ and the church. They don't need Christ and a baptistry. They don't need Christ and a confessional booth. They are satisfied with Christ and Christ alone. Because Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Is He your life? Is He your contentment? Do you love Him? Do you desire Him? My friends, those of you still without Christ, listen. You will remain discontent in this world, and you will die in your discontentment so long as you continue to reject Jesus Christ. I plead with you now, as a dying man to dying men, I plead with you. You will remain utterly miserable in this life. And you will spend an eternity in hell if you do not bring your sin-sick soul to Jesus Christ, the physician for healing. I say this out of love. There are many who come within our doors, many I have talked to over the years, religiously discontent. I grew up in a church. I was baptized in this church. Well, how are you living now? Very discontent. Seeking after pleasure, after pleasure, after pleasure. No purpose, considering suicide, wondering what the purpose of life is. No happiness, no satisfaction. What's the problem? Their problem is that they haven't truly found Christ. They have found religion, but they have not found Christ. They have found a church, but they have not found Christ. I'm urging you this day to look to the Lamb of God and be saved. Why do you delay your coming to Christ? Why do you continue in your discontentment when there is a cure right before you? It is the most foolish thing on earth. If you had cancer and you were dying of the cancer and there was a cure right before you to take and apply, it would be the most absurd thing for you to reject that cure. And so it is the most absurd thing for unbelievers to reject Jesus Christ and continue on in their unhappy, discontented ways when Christ in His open, loving, merciful arms says, "Come unto Me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. All those who come to Me, I will in no wise cast out. For whosoever shall believe on the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall have everlasting life." Listen, the devil wants you to remain unhappy and discontent. But Christ wants you to have life, and to have life more abundantly. He is the living water that satisfies the soul. So with that, I plead with you, as Isaiah pled with the children of Israel, "Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." There is contentment only in Jesus Christ.